My philosophy of the market is in general is I try not to overly time it. I tend to believe in more of a core satellite approach to investing. So for those folks that don't understand the lingo, essentially that means that you pick your core holdings. So
you're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, we got with us today, Derek Mazzarella. Derek, you're a dedicated certified financial advisor and author. And, well, seems like a turning point in your life was 2008, the financial crisis. Tell us what happened then. What did that, how did that change you?
Sure. Well, so back in 2008, I was actually, my first job out of college was working with Aflac, selling supplemental insurance. And a lot of that is done through the employer. So in 2008, I was actually still struggling, not doing well, and I lost about a third of my book of clients because most of them got laid off. So that really shaped a lot of what I looked about today. And in early 2009, I actually decided to jump in and become a financial advisor because someone I was networking with thought we might be a good fit. And I started working as a financial advisor basically ever since then.
All right. So what's your philosophy of the markets?
My philosophy of the market is in general is I try not to overly time it. I tend to believe in more of a core satellite approach to investing. So for those folks that don't understand the lingo, essentially that means that you pick your core holdings. So for most people, it's going to be something like the S&P 500, and then you blend kind of a mix of other asset classes around it, things like small cap and emerging markets and overseas accounts. And then you make small tweaks and shifts based on essentially what your financial goals are. So you can make some small tweaks around the edges. I'm big on analogies to carry. So kind of the analogy I typically use is set the house up, design it, then maybe rearrange the furniture and change the drapes, but don't really, redo the kitchen.
Okay. And how's that working out for your clients?
I think it works out really well. I think one of the things that it really helps solve is a behavioral issue that we run into a lot with markets, because in the short term, they can be incredibly volatile. I mean, this year is probably a great example of that. The beginning of the year ripped. And then since July, we really had a really big come down from then. And we had over 10% drop from July on. And then we had one of the best Novembers we've ever had. So, if people are overly emotional with their investing, there was multiple points where they would have gotten out of the market and not stayed in.
Mm-hmm. All right. So looking ahead here, we've had quite a rally. Any theories as to why?
I think a couple of things. I think the market on some level was a little oversold. I think one of the things we look at when you look at what happened at the beginning of the year, or at least the first half, was a lot of that was really driven by seven companies. So a lot of it allowed the other companies to catch up. I think the good news, we've seen the inflation numbers start to trickle down from the high of 9.1%. So that's positively impacting the market returns there. Earnings were above average. I don't think they were excellent. I don't think they're anything to write home about, but coming from a few quarters ago when we had negative earnings, I feel like we're on at least a better path than we were. A lot of companies in 2022 were trimming the fat, so to speak. So they're doing some layoffs. A lot of them have locked in debt that's fairly low interest rates. So they locked in a bulk of money back in 2020, 21. So I think for those reasons, we saw a bunch of the pullback, plus the treasury rates started to drop a little bit as well. So the idea that, hey, there's money elsewhere that's cheaper or that's lower risk that is going to get a good return is starting to drop too. So I think when you look at all those factors, that's probably why the market started to rebalance or rally a little bit in November.
All right. So you think it can keep going?
Well, that's the magic question, Terry. So I think in general, yeah, well, I'd imagine it's probably going to meander for a bit, if I had a guess. I think the rally was pretty sharp and quick, so that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to keep going up. I think when you look at the economy as a whole, you could probably point to a few things where there are some risk points. If unemployment starts to creep up at a faster rate than expected, that can impact the market. If the Fed says you know, unequivocally, hey, we're actually going to keep rates higher than people think, because I think the market right now is pricing in a March or April drop in rates. So we'll see if that happens. If that goes sideways, then we'll never know. You know, so those are a few of the things I'd look out for. I think the other kind of big thing to look out for is the amount of debt we have as a country. That's the thing that probably not enough people are talking about. So looking at how is that going to impact spending in the future, that's definitely something to keep an eye on for sure.
All right. So yeah, the debt is definitely out of control. Spending's out of control. Doesn't appear that anybody wants to do anything about it, does it?
No, I'd agree with that. I think that you can talk both sides about that one, because I think if they're really serious about it, they really look at what they're overspending money on and look for ways to cut costs. I mean, that's one of my jobs in general with individual folks, is how do you look at what's working, what's not working, and how do you make changes? It doesn't seem like they're really interested in making any changes on you know, either side, especially with a mixed Congress. I mean, good luck getting actually anything done. So that's going to be the other challenge in terms of getting the budget in order in general, at least for the short term.
Yeah. So eventually something's got to give, right?
I would say so. I mean, one of the things I've been talking to a lot with clients in terms of preparing them is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is going to expire in 2026. So that means a number of people are going to have increased tax rates come 2026. So I'd imagine if the debt's still really high and the spending's still high and they haven't done much with it, one of the only levers they can pull is getting more revenue in the door. The only way that the government really does that is taxes. So if they say, hey, look, we're just going to let this sunset and not, you know, reset the tax rates to where they are today and let that increase happen, then that's one way it can impact potentially your listeners in terms of, you know, maybe reducing their ability to spend because they are paying more taxes.
Eesh. All right. Well, maybe something will happen and we'll all be surprised, right?
That's a possibility for sure.
All right. Hey, so looking forward to the new year with all this uncertainty, where do you put your money?
Well, honestly, Kerry, for me, that depends on where you are. It's really hard to say specifically. You know, I still would believe in the market if you're investing long term. You know, short term, you probably want to be in fixed investments, especially bonds right now with this market environment. When the Fed does drop interest rates, those are well positioned to do or perform well, because typically in an increase a rate dropping environment, you'll see positive bond returns in that cycle.
Okay, so bonds are back in fashion. What about higher yielding stocks, dividend stocks?
Well, so those tend to do poorly when there's higher interest rate bonds available. So I'd watch out for that. The thing that you would really want to focus on, especially in a shakier market cycle like this, is not necessarily dividend paying stocks, but quality companies. So companies that have high free cash flow, have cash on the books. Most of them often do pay dividends, but they're not, you know, quote unquote, the high dividend paying stocks. So if you're looking for some form of income with a little bit more of a kind of risk buffer, quality stocks are probably the way to go in that regard, because they tend to do well in shakier markets and they still offer that income potential for you.
All right. And stay away from small caps?
You know, not necessarily, because the one challenge we've seen with small caps, especially in the past year and a half, is they tend to do very poorly in higher interest rate environments, because they tend to take on more debt than a large cap stock would, and they take on debt that's not as favorable. So they really tend to struggle with higher interest rates. So if we see a rate drop coming in the future, that could be an opportunity for folks to invest in small caps. You know, we've actually seen from a valuation standpoint, small caps right now are actually at a pretty, I don't want to say historically low value, but they're relatively low value from where they've been in the last 10 to 15 years.
All right. All right. So anything else, any other pearls of wisdom you have for us, Derek, that we can take to the bank here?
You know, I think the other thing I really just said, it's the end of the year. We're getting close. I would just really pay attention to some tax moves you can make. So, you know, with the volatility of the market, I would look at things like potentially tax loss harvesting. You could look at, you know, making gifts to folks, putting those last 529 contributions in before the end of the year. Because those things, as much as we love the market investing, those can really be something that we have control over and provide a positive ROI for us over the long haul. So just generally doing some tax planning is a thing that I see is often overlooked with a lot of folks.
All right. I think we got an idea of where you stand, Derek. People want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. How do you do that?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I do have a book out that's called Just Retire Already. So you can go to justretirealready.com to either check the book out, or if you did want to work with me or check me out even more, I do have a contact page there. So feel free to reach out. I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn. It's just Derek Mazzarella at LinkedIn there. And that's probably the best two avenues to check me out.
All right. Hey, well, link to Derek's sites on the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, sign up for our free newsletter. If you got any questions for Derek or myself, shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Appreciate you coming on, Derek. We'll talk to you again soon.
Well, thanks, Carrie. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.